We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we come to you again holding out empty hands, pleading with you to fill them with food for our souls. We pray that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which is precious to us, and reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us. Give us hearts that are ready to receive it, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, a silent sermon. The Holy Spirit tells it as it is. He doesn't hide anything. He doesn't gloss over anything. And here he presents to us a preacher who can't preach. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." So the angel Gabriel, sent by God, tells Zacharias that he and his wife shall have a son. And the old priest can't take it, denies it. The remarkable thing is that Zacharias asks exactly the same question that Abraham had asked so many years ago in Genesis chapter 15, verse 8. And yet, the two questions are not treated alike. And we wonder why. And the answer is that this is due to the fact that Abraham believed, but Zacharias did not. Abraham asked for a sign to strengthen his faith. Zacharias asked for a sign that he thought could not be given because the thing that was promised was no longer possible. To him, the order of nature seemed more certain than the order of grace. Just because a person is old and has gray hair doesn't mean that he necessarily has a strong faith. Back in Genesis chapter 15, and this is what Zacharias should have remembered. He should have. He was a priest. Genesis 15, beginning of verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is the Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. But behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And what was Abram's response? Did he say, I don't believe that for a minute, that's impossible? No, he didn't. By the grace of God, he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. He believed. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of man, lest any man should boast. And here we see the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the foundational passages in all Scripture. Abraham believed. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you see how God rewarded that faith. Now, the wonderful example of Jacob, or Isaac's birth should have made a dent in the mind of old Zacharias, now that such a same promise is given to him. It's the same thing. Those wonderful births, of course, and then there were more than that, but mainly the birth of Isaac here, that occurred a long time ago. But since when does that mean that God can't do it again? Just because something took place in the distant past that God did, and he hasn't done it for many years after that, doesn't mean that he still can't. And it doesn't mean that he still won't. What kind of an application is there for you and for me? I mean, why are we studying Scripture? And especially, why do we go to the Old Testament, which took place hundreds and hundreds of years ago? We go there because these things were written for our learning. This is our book. We're part of the story here. And the miracles that God performed in Old Testament times are still being performed in our own day, one way or the other. Don't sell God short. He's the same now as he was back then. I am the Lord God, I change not. So, okay, here comes an important lesson. Unbelief is always irrational. It just is. Zacharias had every reason to believe this promise, but he didn't. He was an old man. He says, "For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." There's an important lesson here and in what follows that's not easily spotted. If we could read the Greek, we would see it easily. Because in the Greek, the word I is put right up in front, and the emphasis is on that word. I am an old man. The emphasis is on Zacharias himself, not God. It's on him. I am an old man. You've promised me a child. I am an old man. I can't father a child anymore. The promise can't happen. I am. I don't know if you remember this. I hope you do. The Greek is ego eimi. Ego eimi. It's the same word that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came out to capture him, and he went to them and said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am. Ego eimi." The emphasis is on I. I'm the one you're looking for. And what did the soldiers do? They fell to the ground, helpless, at that word, I am, ego eimi. This is the same terminology that Jesus used in the Gospel of John. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. I am. And that went back to the burning bush in the days of Moses. God appeared in that burning bush, and it was at the backside of the desert. And the shepherd Moses saw this burning bush, but it wasn't consumed. It burned and burned and burned and burned, but it wasn't consumed. So he went up to check it out. And God spoke to him. And God told him, I want you to go back into Egypt, and I want you to lead my people out. And Moses gave one excuse after another. One excuse was, well, you know, I go back and I tell the children of Israel, the God of your father sent me. They're going to say, oh, what's his name? And what should I tell them? And God said, my name is I Am. Ego I Me in the Greek, but this was in the Hebrew. I Am. I am who I am. I'm God. I'm all powerful. I can do whatever I want. I am. It goes back to that. And now Zacharias is using that. I am. Ego I Me. I am an old man. So the thought is that as far as Zacharias was concerned, the case was hopeless. It's impossible for God to keep his promise because he's zeroing in on himself, I am, instead of zeroing in on God. And the second impossibility of the whole thing was that his wife was also old, past the age of childbearing. Okay, so when he was young, and his wife, when they were younger, they prayed for a child. But they had stopped praying a long time ago. When they got old, they stopped praying. And the angel said, your prayer has been answered. Well, what prayer was that? Well, that was the one you made years and years and years and years and years ago. And you thought God didn't hear it, and you thought God didn't answer it. God did hear it. And God is going to answer it, only he's going to do it in his own time, not your time. So, the Holy Spirit doesn't hide this. These saints in the Old Testament were not perfect. They had the same weaknesses and failings that you and I have. And it's only by the grace of the Holy Spirit that any of them made it, same as it is for us. So, the angel answering said unto him, this is precious. What did Gabriel say? I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. So, Zacharias had an I am, and now the angel also has an I am. Zacharias said, I am old. The angel said, I am Gabriel. So who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the old unbelieving priest? Or are we going to be the angel that was sent by God? And it could have been any angel. It happened to be Gabriel. But what was the Gabriel doing? Gabriel said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and have sent to speak unto thee and show these glad tidings. So what Gabriel said was right from God. The words of God that God gave Gabriel to tell Zacharias. And it could have been any other angel. The point is, it's a word of God. So when Zacharias says, I am old, the angel basically says, I am God. Which I am, are we going to believe? Gabriel is seen in other places of Scripture also, by the way. Daniel chapter 8, beginning at verse 15, gives us another example. Daniel 8, beginning at verse 15. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid. Same reaction as Zacharias had, same reaction you and I would have. I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last day, the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Well, the time of fulfillment for Zacharias is now too. It has come. And Gabriel tells him about it. And Zacharias doesn't buy into it. Any other angel would have been able to say the same thing that Gabriel did because they're speaking the word of God. And the center of attention here is not the angel, it's God. And it's not Zacharias, it's God. And the question the Son of God put is anything too hard for the Lord? And this is recorded way back in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, verse 14, when they're talking about Abraham going to have a child. The old man Abraham, who's 100 years old and his wife is 90. And is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then Abraham believed. This question is one that every one of us should remember all of our life. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And what would that be? What could you possibly name that would be too hard for the Lord God to do? And Scripture's very, very clear on this. The unreasonableness of Zacharias is shocking. But sad to say, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. So who are we going to believe, man, or are we going to believe God? Zacharias, you're going to have a son, and Elizabeth is going to be the mother. I am old. I am Gabriel. Which I am, are we going to believe? The Lord God created all things. And he controls his whole creation. He can do even greater things. And what we call the rules of science, they're not really rules at all, it just happened. God made these rules of science, and he can overcome them anytime he wants to. He can cause an axe head to float to the top of the surface. We know that. There's a lot of examples in Scripture. God can cause the sun to stand still. We know that. He can cause the moon to stand still in the Valley of Adullam. We know that. There's nothing impossible for God. And think of the blessedness of what we read in Ephesians chapter 3. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. And I'm starting with verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And we've mentioned this before. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You see the importance of faith. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Zacharias did not believe. Okay. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all saints, all the elect, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now this verse, which is precious beyond words. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and that's the Holy Spirit, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that means, yea, yea, so shall it be. So if God only told us, if the Holy Spirit only told us that God can do a lot of things for us, well, that would be great. If he tells us that God is able to do all that we ask or think, that's even greater. If he tells us God is able to do above all that we ask or think, that's even greater yet. And if he tells us God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, it doesn't get any better than that. Oh, yes, it does. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Put that in your pocket and carry it with you all the days of your life. This is amazing. It doesn't get any better than this. Gabriel continues, and behold, okay, you wanted a sign that you didn't think I could give you. I'll give you a sign. And you better watch out what you ask for, because you just might get it. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. The priest is supposed to be giving sermons, and he can't talk. He can't talk. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these words shall be performed. Why? Because thou believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know, the unbelief of a human being never stops the will of God. God's will is going to be done no matter what, whether you and I believe it or whether we don't. And the will of God for Zacharias and Elizabeth is that they're going to have a son, and that's going to happen whether Zacharias believes it or whether he doesn't. But the fact that he doesn't believe is going to have an impact on his life. You're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. Think of what that means. So Zacharias is still in the temple. He's fulfilling his duty there until the time is up. Then he's going to go back home. He's not going to be able to talk. His wife is going to conceive, carry the child for 9 months, and Zacharias is not going to be able to talk until the child is born. And then they're going to name him John, because God said to do that. And they came to Zacharias and said, well, what do you think? What should his name be? And Zacharias can't give an answer. So he takes a piece of paper and a pencil and he writes down, his name is John. And then all of a sudden, God gives him his voice back. But you see, there, unbelief has its consequences, even for a priest. And the fact that we believe the great promises of God, and that Jesus Christ came into the world and became our representative and lived the perfect life and offered himself as a sacrifice for us in our place, substitution. We can believe that, but when it comes to particular instances in our life, sometimes it's hard to believe those little things. And the truth of the matter is that that's so irrational. I mean, God has already done the big thing. And the big thing is sacrificing his son for our sins. The only problem we really have is a sin problem, and it's a big one. And that's been solved. So all these other things are little problems. They're not even problems at all. But it gets back to believing. The fact that we believe, well, these things shall be fulfilled in their season. They're going to be fulfilled when the Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want them to be fulfilled. And remember that God's timing is always perfect. If it were up to us, we'd screw things up. And if we determined when Christ would come back, well, either come back a long time ago, we wouldn't even be born yet. If God's people had the choice of saying, when is Christ going to come back? So we leave that in the hands of the Heavenly Father. But when Christ does come, he's going to come quickly. It's going to happen, bang, just like that. And he's standing at the doors right now. There's only one thing left that has to happen. And that is that the Heavenly Father has to give his son the command to go back into this world, not in humility like he did before, born in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's going to be a judgment, and righteous judgment is going to be measured out. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a hell. There's going to be a great gulf fixed. All this stuff is going to happen very, very quickly. Okay, so now we get back to Zacharias. Well, he's standing there in the Holy of Holies, and he's dilly-dallying around, and the people that are out there in the court, they're waiting for him to come out and give him a little sermonette, and he's not coming. And, well, what's going on back there? This shouldn't take forever. Should have been a half a minute, if that. So finally he comes out, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he couldn't speak to them. They're waiting for some sort of a little sermon or whatever to God's blessings, and he comes out and he can't talk. And then the people perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Well, they had more faith than he did, for he beckoned unto them, but he remained speechless. What a scene this is. I remember back at Beaver Dam when I preached on this text, and I came out in the pulpit, and I didn't say anything. I just made some hand motions. And everybody was like, well, what's this, you know? It was really effective. They never forgot it. But the point was, this is what happened to Zacharias. So then, how does it all end up? And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed into his own house. He finished a week in silence, and he got to his own house, and he couldn't talk for 9 more months. The sound of silence. The sound of silence. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. It was considered a judgment of God for Jewish people not to have children. And now this reproach had been taken away. And when Elizabeth became pregnant, she didn't run around in the streets and announce it. She hid herself 5 months. Why would she do that? Well, you know, there are times when a child of God receives a tremendous blessing from the Lord. And they kind of keep it to themselves for a period of time. It's a blessed, blessed, silent time between a child of God and the Lord God himself when a special blessing has been received. And I believe there are times like that in the life of every single child of God. When every time my wife became pregnant, we didn't tell anybody for several days. It was a blessed, blessed time between us and God. And that's the way it was with Elizabeth. That's the way it is with every child of God.